Let's take a quick look at Isaiah 55 and verses 8 through 11. And this is a familiar scripture verse for us. And it says, "For my thoughts." Now, this is Isaiah speaking, the prophet Isaiah speaking under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. He's saying here, "My thoughts," this is God, "my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." So God is saying here, his word that he's released, it's not going to return void unto him. Now, what does that mean? I've got a part. See, I have my part, which is to believe him, and you have your part, which is to believe him. So that means that we can rest assured that if we believe God and we release our faith and continue to believe him, he is going to make sure this word that he's spoken, he's going to watch over it. It's not going to return void, empty, powerless, not producing. So the seed of God's word will produce. It's going to produce. And we just need to believe it. Hallelujah. Now let's look at John 10:10. Very familiar scripture verse. And John 10:10. I'm going to look at it in three different translations real quickly, but it says, "The thief," it's talking about the devil here, our adversary, "the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." So God is saying here, this was Jesus speaking. You know, if you look at your Bible, it should be in red letter. That means Jesus is speaking. And this was God in Christ. So it was the Father speaking through Christ. He said, "I've come that you may have life and life more abundantly." And then the New Living Translation, it says, "The thief's purpose," so he has a purpose, right? The devil has a purpose, and so does God. "The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." Oh. Now listen to the Passion Translation. It says, "A thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy." What did Jesus say? One thing. He only has one thing in mind. It's not, "Well, I'm just going to hurt him a little bit, but I'll back off." It's one thing. He has one thing in mind, one purpose. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. "But I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow." I'm going to read that again. "But I have come to give you everything in abundance. Say everything. Everything. Say everything. Everything what? In abundance, more than you expect. Because we just got done reading, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. So that means I can expect something, but his things are higher. They're bigger. They're broader. So he said, more than you expect. Life in its fullness until you overflow. So what does that mean? Until, that means there's a process, doesn't that mean? That means until you overflow. So that means as I'm believing him, things are starting to increase in my life and increase. You don't just reach a place and go, wow, this is great. No, until I overflow. That means I've got so much, I'm doing what? I'm overflowing. It's spilling out into society. It's spilling out into people's lives. Until I overflow. If you're just abundant but not overflowing, you ain't there yet. You're not there yet. You're not there. That means if I've got a little joy, but I'm not overflowing in joy, I'm not there yet. If I've got some peace, but I'm not overflowing in peace, I'm not there yet. That means there's still more. I need to increase. Now, that's going to take some work and effort. That means I've got to meditate in the Word of God. I've got to spend a little more time thinking about Him, seeking Him, right? That's what that means. That means the efforts on my part. If I do my part, He will respond. Faith is what? Acting like the Bible. So faith is acting. Faith is an action. Faith is not just believing, but faith is saying, God said I could have more. I'm going to reach out for more. Now, you know, let me share something when it comes to when God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. When we want to know what God's will is, if we need to have faith for something, my will is involved. I need to know what His will is. So that means I need to spend and I need to search the book. I need to search the Bible. I need to find out what is God's will. Because when I find out what His will is, I can have faith for it because He said so, that this word will not return void. I'll watch over it and make it come to pass. So when I know what His will is, I can reach out and say, I want that. I'll have that. Thank you, Lord. And so our thoughts must be brought into subjection to the Word of God. What does that mean? I must submit to the will of God or the Word of God. I've got to submit to the Word of God. So submission is involved in our faith. Because if I'm not submitted to the Word of God, how can you have faith for something? That means I'm submitted. That means I believe it. I submit to the will of God and I reach out and take something. So submission is part and parcel where your faith is concerned. So this is the beginning of our faith. So what does that mean? When I submit, my will is involved. My thinking is involved. Hallelujah. So a mind that's under the control of doubt and unbelief is a target of the devil. Somebody's mind, your will, if it's full of doubt and unbelief or you're not sure, you're a target for the thief whose one purpose is to steal from you. Now, how can he steal from you if you're not sure about something? Well, I don't know. See, if you're not sure about your insurance policy, you lose out. It's not their fault. You're paying your money. You pay your money monthly for insurance, but if you had an accident or you need to put a claim in, if you don't read the policy and you don't go back and look at it, you lose. And it's not their fault. So God has done everything. He sent his son. He shed his blood. He gave us his word. He's put information and things are shared, but we've got to search it. We've got to find out and ask questions. God, what do I need to do? What do I need to do here in this area of my life? We need to ask. He gave us the Spirit of God to reveal and unfold the truth of God's word. So we need to keep pursuing him, submitting our will to him, and acting in faith and acting upon it. See? So our faith to work or accomplish what the scripture says, our mind must be captured with the word of God. I've got to think about it. I've got to submit to it. You know, when you submit, your determination is involved. You've determined to submit to something. You've determined to pursue something. When you're determined, you know, now anybody who's now this time, you know, we've got the Olympics on and all that, and you see athletes, they're determined. They're determined to win, and they know that in order to win, they've got to practice and practice 8, 9, 10 hours a day for years. They're determined. Their will is involved. And so you have to be determined that I'm going to get everything that God has promised me. Not one thing. See, God's not saying, well, you got 50%, that's good enough. No, God's saying 100% is available. You can overflow with blessings. But you have to be determined that I'm going to have it. I'm going to get it. I'm going to receive it. I'm going to walk in the blessings of God and overflow. See? We can be determined. Now, I know life gets involved in our everyday life, and things can do what? Muddy that up, muddy up our determination, because I have to be determined to get over here and take care of this. Then I got to be determined to take this. Well, where's that determination now with God? You see, because it can affect my determination, life. Life and life's issues can affect my determination where God is concerned, his will and his promises. We all have hit those mountains in life that can affect my determination with things. But I've got to keep that first and foremost, right? That no matter what comes in my life, I'm going to be determined to receive everything that God has promised. You know why I need to be determined? Hebrews 11:6. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. It didn't say you're going to be putting first and foremost, I'm going to please my children and I'm going to please my wife. All of that's good. And please my husband. I'm not saying you don't do that, but you cannot replace that with pleasing God. You cannot. You've got to say, I'm going to reach out. That's why it's important that if you've got a covenant relationship with husband and wife, you take hands and say, honey, I love you, but God's first. And we are going to reach out and receive everything that God has promised. We're going to walk in the blessings. We're going to walk in the peace of God. And we're going to overflow with the blessings of God. You know why? Because we can impact people with that. Jesus did. He overflowed with joy, overflowed with peace, overflowed with the anointing. And what happened? It changed people. People started to seek him out. because he overflowed with abundance. Hallelujah. If you don't think so, he had Judas carrying the bag of money, who was stealing from it. So we need to think about that, that our determination, how determined are you? Have you set your will to do something? Yeah, we all have. We've set our will. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get more education. I'm going to get, you know, whatever it is you want in life. You want a house, you want a new car, you want, you know, you want children. So you set your mind to that. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying you don't do that. Those are good things to do. But Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if I'm going to increase, because this is what Joshua 1:8 says, it says that we are to keep this book of the law and meditate on it day and night, observe to do it, so that you would be what? Prosperous. So you can't exclude God and his word out of the equation. You can't get so busy and caught up with things that you're determined to do these other things and not determined to get everything that God has promised and to walk in all the blessings of God. And that's a process, because I'm going to read it again. In John 10, in the Passion, it says, a thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I have come, his purpose is, to give you everything in abundance. Oh, I just like that. Everything in abundance, more than you expect. Life in its fullness until you overflow. It didn't just say you have life in fullness. It says until you overflow. So God's intention is that we have abundance and that we overflow. That we overflow in abundance, not anxiety and grief and everything else. So God is a good God, and he wants us to increase. And this idea here, let's take a quick look at 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. So our thoughts have to be brought into subjection to the word of God. Our thinking, our thoughts have to be brought into this subjection to the word of God. And I think this is a good scripture. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. See, strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought, say every thought, to the obedience of Christ. Now, let me ask this question, just be honest. When we hear stronghold, most times, and I guess I would have to include myself, when we hear the word stronghold, do we think of something negative? Most times you do, don't you? You say, oh, this is a stronghold. You think, well, that's something impossible to get past, or it's something negative, right? But what if you built a stronghold in your thinking? What if you think about this from the positive side, that I build a stronghold in my thinking based on the word of God? so that when thoughts come, I have a strong hold in my thinking to cast down those imaginations and things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. So this says here, when you read that particular verse, let me get back over there again, Second Corinthians, it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And then, the beginning it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Yes, that's true, that God's power helps us pull down strongholds, but what if you built a mighty stronghold in your thinking? I don't mean that from a negative standpoint, but from a positive standpoint. What if you were so determined, so convinced of the Word of God that nothing could shake you or rattle you? Because that's exactly what the Bible says. It says, let me show you a man that has built his house on the rock. He dug down deep and built his foundation on a rock so that when the winds came, it couldn't shake the house. What did he build? He built it on a rock. That's a stronghold, isn't it? But let me show you a person who built their house on sand, and it says great was the destruction, right? It blew it away. So their foundation was not strong. So we can build a mighty stronghold of foundation in our thinking that will help us in our determination. See, when you're determined, you know, think about this. This is just a thought that when you are determined, you're less apt to give in to issues and things, right? So our will is involved. This is what we're trying to say. We need to develop in our mind concepts or, you know, pictures that are in line with God's word. That's what we're saying. The scripture, Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19, if we are willing and obedient, we eat the good of the land. So God, I'm trying to get all of this to say that God has given us the right to choose between right and wrong. He's given us the right to choose. God has done everything. We just have to be determined and make up our mind, I'm going to have this. I'm going to walk in this. And we may reach, you know, everybody goes through different seasons in their life. And in those seasons, we have to make decisions. We have to make decisions that, you know, this is a rough season you're going through. And whether it's a rough season or just a easy season, each one of those seasons, you have to be what? Determined that I'm going to have what God promised me. Not based on what my friends have or don't have, not based on what my family has or doesn't have. I'm going to have what God promised me. And don't let go of that determination because of what you're experiencing or not experiencing. You know, you may not be experiencing something at this point, even though you're believing. Keep speaking the word of God. Say, I have it, I walk in it. You know, I love the life experiences that Brother Hagin has shared, and others too, But I remember this one life experience where he said he woke up one morning and the whole side of his body, his face had drooped like he had a stroke. And it was all drooped. And he went to smile, one side smile, and this whole face is down like this. And he's got this symptom. So he said, I know what I'll do. I'll go to the church this evening and I'll ask the pastor to pray for me. That's faith. Now, this was a Baptist pastor, not even Pentecostal, spirit-filled. He just said, Pastor, you pray for... So he said, anybody need prayer? So no, he didn't even ask if anybody needed prayer. Brother Hagin said, he just stood up and said, I want you to pray for me. And so in this life experience, he shares that he didn't even hear what the pastor prayed. He was waiting for amen. Because he said, when he said amen, I released my faith. And I say, I got it. I take it. So he said, when he heard amen, he said, amen, I got it. I've received my healing. And he said, nothing changed. And so all he was young, you know, in his 18 or 20 or whatever it was, and all his friends were there, and he said, and they said, did you get healed? Yeah, I got my healing. And they said, well, you sure don't look healed. Nothing's changed. You still look the same. He said, but I'm healed. And all the way home, and he said he was walking this girl home, and he said they went into the house, and of course, you know, the mother was there and the girl was there. He walked home and she said, well, he said he got healed. Mama, does he look any different to you? She said, nope. He said, yeah, but I'm healed. Well, you sure don't look healed. And so the long story is that he went home, but when he got up in the morning, all of the symptoms have left. Everything had gone. So the point is, regardless of what you experience or not, take hold of the Word of God, take it for yourself, believe that you've received the promise from the Word of God, whether you've agreed in prayer, whether somebody laid hands upon you, whether you just took it by faith, believe you've received it and say so. I've got this. I believe I have this. And walk in it and keep speaking it until you see it. Hallelujah. That's determination. Glory to God. So God is telling us, again, let me get back to what we were sharing here, that God is saying here that his only purpose, the devil's purpose, was to steal, kill, and destroy. But he's come to give us everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullest, until you overflow. So God is saying here, and this is something I've shared before, Brother Hagin said, where we talk about, he said, why people do not get better results in their faith life or faith is that they reject the watering process. And what does that mean? Watering is constantly listening to the Word of God, feeding upon it, confessing it. That's watering. And he said, the watering process, if it's not continually done, then our faith doesn't measure up, because faith doesn't measure to the place it should be, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hallelujah. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, this is Paul speaking. He said, I planted, this is the New Living Translation. He said, I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. See? So somebody can plant the seed in your heart. I could have done that. Somebody else could have come along and watered it, but it's God who makes the seed to grow. And then this is verse 7. I like this. This is the New Living. It says, it's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. Ooh. So it's not important who did the planting and who did the watering. What's important is what this says here. It's that God makes the seed grow. He makes it grow. So if we don't see growth, then we need to go back and see, have I planted? Have I watered? Am I watering? Am I watering? Because it said, God makes the seed grow. Ah. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field, you are God's building. So the field, our heart, our spirit, is where the seed is planted and watered, and God makes it grow. Hallelujah. And what do? Until, that's what it says, until you overflow. Where's that harvest? That harvest, that growth, that harvest is in your spirit. So the divine increase that we want is really in my spirit. And then it overflows and it affects my thinking, my life, my peace, my joy. It affects everything I set my hands to. It affects my wisdom. It affects how I think. It affects the choices that I make. I begin to know how to conduct the affairs in my life. And I do what? I begin to prosper in every area. I begin to prosper. Hallelujah. In a greater measure. Now, maybe you've prospered in a measure, but God is saying, He wants you to overflow. He wants you to literally overflow. Well, how's that divine increase going to come? It's got to start in your spirit because that's what pleases God. We've got to plant and water and plant and water here in this heart until we get a harvest, and then it what? It overflows. And I begin to affect not only me, but everybody around me. Amen? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12. This is in the King James. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12, 13. I'll wait till you get there. Because we're God's field in which this incorruptible seed is planted, watered, and it grows and brings forth a harvest. So now let's look at this, that ye should walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. I'm reading from the King James. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, see, you've got to receive it. You got to receive it, open your heart to it, which you heard of us. You received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. So when you heard it, you received it not as the word of men, but the word of God, which does what? Effectually worketh also in you that believe. Woo. When you receive the word of God and you continually to water it, it says here, it effectually works in you that believes. It's effectually working in us. That's why sometimes, you know, when we're walking through things, you need to say, I received the word of God in me, and it's working in me now. It's working in me, bringing forth a harvest of peace, a harvest of joy, a harvest of wisdom, a harvest of prosperity. It's working in me, even when you don't see it and feel it and think it. If you received the word of God as the word of God, this says what? Which effectually worketh in you that believes. And God, what did it say? It's not important who does the planting or who does the water. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. So I received the seed, the word of God in me, and it's effectually working in me because I believe. Oh, boy, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. When that registers, I'm telling you, it's been registering on me. The word's working in me. The word is working in me. It's effectually working in me. It's working in me. It's bringing forth a harvest. I mean, what farmer would go out and spend hundreds of thousands of dollars planting seed and not expect a harvest? You go, what kind of a dodo are you? You know, somebody shared this recently. I think it was Mark Hankins shared this. He said he was in Colorado, and he said, you know, there was a farmer in his meeting, and he said that, you know, they've gotten so sophisticated that some of these farms and places are so big, he said the tractors run on GPS. So they just, you know, you're like, I'm going 5-10 football fields down, you know, you got GPS run machines now. Right? That just do everything almost robotically. And so, not only planting, but harvesting. But this farmer asked this question. He said, what's the most important piece of equipment on the farm? And he said, I have no idea. I'm not a farmer. And the farmer said that the most important machine on the farm is the planting machine. And he said banks will loan hundreds of thousands of dollars to a farmer for this expensive planting machine if they got a big, huge farm because they know they'll get their money back. All things being considered, if they have a good crop and everything goes well, they're going to have a big harvest. They're getting their money back. So it's the same thing with us. If we want to harvest, we have got to receive the word as the word of God, and God will make the seed grow, and it's effectually working in us. And it will bring forth, what did he say? Let's just close with this, John 10:10. I'm going to read it again. A thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal your harvest. He wants to slaughter you and destroy you. He wants to steal and destroy your harvest. What does that mean? Get you to walk out of love, get you to walk out of peace, start to worry. He wants to steal the benefits of your covenant. So when you get over and you're feeling agitated about stuff and this and that, you go, mm-mm. God's wisdom is working in me. I'm pulling down those thoughts of worry. And God is working in me. He's going to show me what to do. And what does it go on to say? But I have come to give you everything in abundance. Everything. So all the stuff I'm facing in life that's meant to steal that and slaughter it and destroy it didn't come from God. He said, I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And we can get there if you just don't give in. You know, I remember Tim Rogers sharing this. They're down in Rayma, Mexico. They've been down there over 20 years. And he said this. He said, you know, he said, I'm not the smartest person in the world, but I knew I was called. And he said, the reason I'm, you know, we're settled and we're expanding, he said, because I just didn't give up. I didn't give in to adversity. I just didn't give in. You know, if you just don't give in and you keep determined, keep your determination settled that God promised me, put a sticker up in your house to remind you. Put it on the refrigerator. Put it on a plaque or something that God has promised me to have abundance in every area of my life. Everything. And you keep that in front of your eyes and remind yourself and say it, and you just don't give in to the strongholds, to the noise, to the stuff that comes up. You just say, no, I have a blood covenant through Jesus, and he promised it, and it shall come to pass. Even if you've got to say it through grit teeth, when everything looks like you'll never have it, you begin to say it because God will find a way to make it come to pass. He will bring it to pass. Suddenly, things will change. Glory to God. Praise God. Father God, we thank you for your abundant life. We thank you that you breathed life into our lives, into our spirit, and we thank you for the Word of God, which is in us, and it's effectually working in us that believe. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for guiding us and leading us in life, showing us how to walk through the issues that face us in life. And we thank you that Jesus showed us how to walk in this earth as a man, anointed by the Holy Ghost, a sinless man. And he told us to have faith in God, and that when we faced a mountain, he said that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So we thank you, and we desire to please you, O God. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. I don't know about you, but I am going to and am increasing, not going to. I am increasing, and it's through his word. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God, praise God. Praise the Lord.